Sorry, I'm late. You guys are both looking down barrel, which makes me think you've already said welcome to Highly Questionable, and now I don't know what to do.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitar. That's Katie Nolan. She's late arriving as always. Check out
not
the podcast
always.
Sports with a question mark. And Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily. Oh, he's got a good one. Jeremy Lin about to join him on ESPN Daily. Let's get started. Always late, man. Always late.
I've been so good lately.
Have you, though?
Yeah.
You've just been lately. You've just been lately.
Bigger deal, Tom Brady's interceptions or his pouty post-game behavior?
All right, for those of you keeping record at home on the micro, this is his second such pouty post-game after losing. He doesn't like to lose. He's greedy about winning. He's been better at that than most people have ever been in anything they will ever be trying. So I'd prefer to concentrate here on the macro instead of the micro, because we've been asking about Tom Brady's aging for the better part of 10 years, and he always wins. He always wins. But now the margin for error is smaller than it has ever been, because even though he has aged differently than anyone in the history of aging, he is the piece that they need to be great, because they've got three number one wide receivers. They've got Gronk and Cameron Brait, and that's an excess only because OJ Howard, their tight end, is hurt. This team is a quarterback away. They need that quarterback to not have turnovers. And Tom Brady, at the end of last season, at the end of New England, lost a playoff game the way it will end in Tampa because he threw interceptions. It is the storyline that we will keep following, but I'm here to tell you, let's just embrace the fact this has been extraordinary to question for a decade, game by game, if this guy is finally aging.
Yeah, when it comes to the, what did we call it, pouty storm off of Tom Brady to not shake Jared Goff's hand, look, I get it. I get that that's not sportsmanlike. I get that in an ideal world, you want to shake hands, kiss babies, become best friends. But A, to Dan's point, which I'll get to in a second, the football is more important. But B, like, we're in a pandemic. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not looking for things to be upset about. Like, I understand that they're all playing on the same field. And when the game ends, it doesn't really make a difference. So it's not like if they were to pass the virus during the game, they wouldn't be able to. What I'm saying is don't get upset about a handshake. If you're sitting at home and you're really worked up about two people you don't know not shaking hands, there's so much other stuff to worry about
really
right
is.
Now.
Really
Especially
is.
The fact with Tom Brady, there's plenty of other stuff to worry about with Tom Brady. Like the fact that on passes over 15 yards, he was 1 of 9 for 18 yards and 2 picks. That's not good. He's not able to throw the ball down the field like he used to. And so, kind of making the same point, I understand why somebody who was always so good, who always wanted you to give him the ball with 2 minutes left, because that's when he could do Tom Brady stuff, plays this game, gets the ball with 2 and change left, does not do old Tom Brady stuff, throws a pick in an embarrassing way. I get why that guy's like, just get me off the field. Because, and this is important for you guys to know before Thanksgiving, part of getting older is knowing when the best thing to do is remove yourself from the situation.
I do want to pout about the pouting, though. I think the pouting is deeper than you guys are giving it credit for. And I say that because, number one, right, what he is doing there after the game, like showing all of his innards emotionally, like he's not shaking hands because he is that frustrated with how bad things are going for him, which reminds me of how he played in this game. Tom Brady is only really Tom Brady, the guy we remember, when he has optimal conditions these days. He loses a game, he is no longer the grandiose winner. You give him pressure in the pocket, he looks like somebody who is closer and closer to what we thought Cam Newton was looking like as a broken person. Tom Brady this week, remember, just heard those rumors coming out of the New York Giants. His former special teams coordinator, his former special teams coach with the Patriots, Joe Judge, now with the Giants, was talking to his team about how allegedly Tom Brady can't throw downfield. He can't throw outside the numbers. He can't move in the pocket. All of that stuff came true in this game. And anytime the opponent gets pressure on Brady, he collapses. They lose games when he is pressured around 40% of the time. That's what happened again against the Rams. So all of this seems to be of a single piece. I also want to point out how insanely hypocritical it is for any of us on this panel to talk about how people at home should not get worked up over people not shaking hands. This television show is mostly famous.
Not this one. All the others.
For that.
For not shaking hands.
That's right.
For people getting worked up because people are failing to shake hands. That is entirely the existence of one Gonzalo Levitard.
Worked up in an adorable way.
No, we are the Ted Lasso of handshakes. Like, this is a joyful experience. Positive.
It's funny, though, an old man not shaking hands. Is Poppy.
Play the montage.
Is Poppy the Tom Brady?
Give us 3 minutes of good television on my father just getting people on the handshake. And you tell me if there's anyone pouting here. We're laughing at all the pouters.
Well, Mina pouts a little.
Who you got in their beef? Dabo Swinney or Florida State?
All right, so a lot of backstory here. You go back to Saturday, Clemson is gone and is ready to play against FSU, and FSU's doctors are like, we're not sure we want to play with some of the things you guys got going on. And then Dabo Swinney, very tone deaf, says that the Florida State administration is just avoiding the game itself, not sickness, that they don't want to play. Not the players, not the coaches, but the administration. And then FSU comes back at him, and now he says, well, FSU, whatever. You've had three coaches in 4 years, and then he gave his list of bona fides. And to me, when I heard the athletic director for Clemson say, look, we support Dabo, he's a winner, we believe in him as a human, and also Dabo is always looking out for the best thing for Clemson and the best thing for his players, except those two things are at conflict right now. You cannot be looking out for the best things at Clemson and the best things for your players. Dabo chose Clemson and is dying on this hill defending it in a way that's totally tone deaf. If another team doesn't want to play you during a pandemic, because kids probably shouldn't be playing during all of this anyway, but we're doing it as a money grab, you should probably be quiet in this climate, because you're not protecting your kids. You just look like a fool.
Yeah, I have no affection for Florida State at all. Florida State, by the way, has had its own coronavirus problems, which may inform how they've reacted. Mike Norvell, the coach in question, had the virus. Lots of players had been held out. By the way, they're not disclosing how many players have gotten the virus, because they're one of those college programs that's embracing like total opacity. All of that's frustrating. All of that makes me want to laugh at Florida State in the ways we're allowed to laugh at them in the realm of whimsy, which I thought this was going to be, except no, it turns out that Dabo Swinney is yelling basically at medical professionals for having this larger conspiracy all angled at Dabo Swinney. Like, I understand football players, coaches, administrators, they theoretically want to play. I get all of that. Like, just don't be the guy in the documentary that looks like a moron in retrospect. That's all I think about now. Do you want to be the guy yelling at the doctors and the medical professionals for being too safe during this pandemic that's already impacted both of your teams severely?
And I feel like I've been saying this throughout all of quarantine, I just don't understand the point of the word protocols. Because the word protocol is supposed to mean this is how we're going to do things. It's supposed to provide order in a situation where there isn't any order. And the protocol here is that the doctors, the team doctors, are supposed to meet and decide if the game is worth playing. And if one team doesn't feel comfortable, if the doctors can't come to a decision, then they weren't going to play the game. That's how it's supposed to go. And like Dan said, when you have these two things you're supposed to care about, Clemson and the students, it becomes very obvious that one of those is a lie. Not that it hasn't been obvious before, like when Dabo said that if we were going to start paying players in college football, he would go do something else with his life, because there's enough entitlement already in this world. I just feel like he comes out and he says stuff, and I get it, you're passionate and you want to win football games and you love your team, but there's a line, and this is it. We're at it. We're in a pandemic. If someone's uncomfortable with going forward with a game, you just don't play the game. That's the safe and fair thing to do. But to call into question an entire team and say that they're too scared to play you is because you brought a player on a plane who had symptoms. It makes me so frustrated, because it's moving the point to something else, and it just makes me very angry. I'm sorry.
The latest point they moved it to, which also gets me worked up, like there was that coach on Dabo's coaching staff who talks about how the real pandemic, the other pandemic we need to talk about because of the story, is political correctness.
Ooh.
And on that, I'm just like, can we just shoot that guy into the sun? Like this idea that the real problem this entire time, apparently is that we're not allowed to yell at scientists. Really? Is that really the thing we haven't been doing enough of so far?
Wait a minute. You said it's not extreme to take a human being and shoot him into the sun. You said that that was not extreme. That's a thing you're willing to defend.
I feel like we have the technology.
Okay. Just a giant catapult. Wait, is he wearing Clemson gear? How soon before catches flames? Like, does he have to get all the way there? I feel like there would be all sorts of atmospheric breathing issues before he even got to the heat.
Oh, Ken, I didn't know you were a scientist.
Yeah, I was actually going for giant slingshot, but what you had in your mind right there is far more advanced, so let's go with that. Yeah.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Katie, would you dive into that pond to rescue Myrtle from an alligator?
Of course I would. Are you kidding me? Of course I would.
She's getting eaten.
What?
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if this is way cooler than just a hunk of metal?
Okay, so Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, has referred to the trophy as a hunk of metal. He's since apologized for that. But I believe at the very beginning of this pandemic in America that my friend Boog Shambi had the single worst and saddest job anywhere in sports. 5:30 in the morning, knowing nothing about Korean baseball, broadcasting the only sport that was going on anywhere that we could televise here in America live. It's because Koreans handled the pandemic so much better than us. That season is now over, and this is not a hunk of metal. You get one of these with the trophy presentation. An Excalibur, amazing sword. That is a glorious trophy.
So good.
It can't be disputed. It looks like a cobra, and it is a sword.
Raise the sword.
This is
stab
wonderful.
The sky.
Yes.
Oh my
intergalactic.
God.
This is just what a wonderful trophy. Amazing.
Look, and I don't mean to have notes, but I always do. I know you just won a championship, but if your trophy's going to be a sword like that, you have to at least pretend that it was difficult for you to pull the sword out of the display
That's
case.
True.
Because seeing him just reach out and with one hand, like, lift it up makes me think that thing's cheap. Yes. I want to see you like, no, will I be able to do it? And then pull it out
and
everybody
fall
celebrates.
Over. Yeah, because it weighs too much. She's right about that. It might be aluminum.
It's such a good point. But that also speaks to the larger dynamic in Korea, which is that they're so good at technology that I think they just made a super light sword in the way that they seem to solve the coronavirus, despite having the virus on the same exact day for the first time that we did.
All right. Too real.
Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind, guys. They played a 144-game regular season, followed by a full postseason, and pulled
totally
a
safe.
Sword out of the stone
totally
and
safe.
Celebrated notably with their masks down and nobody fearing for their lives. I want to be there right now. As much as I love this country, bring me there, please.
I don't think we're allowed to go there.
They won't let us in.
Do you question if you would have done the same thing if you were in this dog owner's shoes?
All right, so we've got Gunner. Gunner is a puppy, and I need to tell you that Gunner is fine. What you're about to watch here is not Gunner.
God.
I know, but I need to warn the audience that whatever it is that's happening between Gunner and this 74-year-old man, that everyone ended up being fine here. Let's see what we have.
Great setup.
Oh, my God. Is that an alligator? Yes, it's an alligator. Yeah,
whoa.
That is exactly what you got to do. He went down there, and that alligator has home field advantage. And that man, that 74-year-old man, got Gunner out of there. And yes, way to go, 74-year-old guy.
Didn't even drop the cigar out of his mouth, worth noting. He kept the cigar in his mouth for the entire time. If you want to run that back, you can keep an eye on it.
That is great.
In
the cigar
the
is in his mouth, even though I'm suspecting it's a little bit soggy at that point.
Probably.
Can I point out, by the way, I think this is the first animal video Highly Questionable has ever shown that seems to have the approval of the Florida Wildlife Federation.
Yeah,
like, no other video you guys have ever shown gets the official watermark. But this guy, this is a success story of how to do this the right governmentally sanctioned way.
74 years old, wrestling a gator. We are looking at Tom Brady's future. This man has the behavior of somebody whose wife definitely told him, whatever you do, just don't let the puppy get too close to that pond. There's an alligator
Gunner
in there.
Gunner better come home, yes.
Yeah, so just make sure Gunner comes back okay. You can do whatever you want. Yes. Smoke all the cigars you want. Just don't let anything happen to that
dog. Why is Gunner punctured and all wet? I don't understand. What happened here?
All right, guys, let's respect the question. Katie, would you dive into that pond to rescue Myrtle from an alligator?
Of course I would. Are you kidding me? Of course I would.
Oh, I mean, she's getting eaten. She's getting eaten.
What? What is that? What are you guys saying?
I feel like if that gator was a little bit larger, though, the math you just did, Katie, in your head
is
a little bit more difficult.
Yes, and if the pond was a little bit deeper, Pablo, shut up. Of course I'm going in. I don't care. I'm going in, and I'm going to wrestle her. She's got a lot of meat on her bones, too.
Myrtle wouldn't do it for you. Myrtle would not do it for you. Just rest assured of that. Con of mammals.
Obvious.
Con of mammals.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. On Saturday night, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr.
I don't like what this says about me, that I actually want to watch some of this for reasons that aren't even just circus freak novelty stuff. Like, I think I'm going to be made profoundly sad by it when it happens, but I can't deny that I'm mildly intrigued. So let's see what we've got here from both of them sparring.
Oh my God.
See, that's not them sparring at all. That is just one of the most...
I like how you guys added kazoos to this, as if this was not obvious enough what is happening.
It is.
Hold on, people might
fight.
Think this is really Mike Tyson. We've got to put in that kazoo yakety sax.
Whoa! What a left hook.
This is.
Who's this third gentleman?
The one guy trying to help that guy up. Oh no! God.
It's Bobby Kremins and Ed Asner there. I don't know who the third guy was. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I just wanted there to be like the Florida Wildlife Conservation Fund watermark on that video.
It is such a great video. Katie, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Roy Jones and Mike Tyson. Is there anywhere I can go to watch more of that video? The show had a lot of old man content today.
Yes.
I don't know what message we're trying to send, but boy, do I love it.
Trying to appeal to that 80-year-old demo that is the future.
Hi, Stanley.
Thursday night at 8:20 p.m., Ravens and Steelers.
Oh, the only good one that we have that day. And we're going to play that game on Thanksgiving, even though the Ravens have shut down their facility because we've got a COVID issue. Hey, let's go get that money. That's not how we're breaking down that game, though. We are going out to Top Golf for some reason. Let's see what we have here. So this is Chase Claypool, the Steelers phenom. And
Mapletron.
He's got 10 touchdowns.
Don't call him that.
10 games. He's great at this, too.
Damn!
Yes,
that was casual.
Going.
Yeah, he's ridiculously.
He just steps into it.
Still going. It's a star now.
Are you intrigued, Pablo? You must be intrigued.
I'm going to watch the game. I'm mildly intrigued by the golf. We just are so familiar with this genre of athletes being good at Top Golf. Do we have Mike Trout, for instance? Like.
Oh, is that what Mike Trout looks like?
I mean,
you know he looks like that, Katie, because all of his friends dress like Mike Trout. If you see the people around
him,
what's amazing is that like all these videos teach us is like, oh yeah, hey, if you're like good at exercising, you'll be good at golf. Like maybe the lesson of Bryson DeChambeau is merely, hey, lift some weights and you too can do that.
You're gonna smear all golfers? No, there's a difference between hitting.
Yeah,
a ball
I'm sorry,
that far and
John
being great
Daly.
At golf. Go ahead, Katie. Are you intrigued?
Yes, I'm intrigued. I also will say he's not only smearing all golfers, he's smearing all people who have realized we suck at golf. You basically just told all of us to go work out, which we know We get That's it, right. but we accept where yeah, we are.
We can My all issue work out this. And we wouldn't hit a baseball like Mike Trout and we wouldn't yes. hit a golf ball like Mike Trout.
Yes, maybe. I don't know. The jury's out on golf. Here's the thing. My issue here is that Chase Claypool, who I love, his TikTok name is @Chase. I don't know. I'm happy to finally say this on a national platform on television. This guy's nickname should be Mud. A pool of clay is mud. Also, the guy from Primus, his last name is Claypool. It all works. So
okay.
His name is Mud, and I'm happy to run on this platform.
His name is Mud. That's what she just said there. Who objected to Mapletron? Did you object to yes. Mapletron because you wanted to make him Mud?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, Katie Nolan, sports with a question mark. Check that out. That was a bit confusing, and many of you will find it wonderful, and me and Pablo would take the loss because she makes jokes like that. Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily, he's got Jeremy Lin.
Just to be clear, that over there is Pablo.
What do you have? No sword.
This is a foam panel because I'm in my wife's closet. I was hoping I'd have a sword. There is nothing close to a sword.
What is that a euphemism for?